Our brother Stephen, in Acts chapter number 7, he's being called unto account for preaching the gospel. He's been accused, he's being resisted, he's being slandered, he's being what we call blackballed, he's being spoken against, and his life is on the line, and he's going to give a testimony of Christ. That's going to cost him his life. But as to one of the things he talks about, it is in verse number 9, Acts chapter 7. It's the patriarchs, that's the children of our brother Jacob, becoming envious, they sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Is every person that was blessed by God to be an apostle, a prophet, was envied by those around him. Every person that has been blessed by God has been envied by unbelievers and even his own brothers. If the Holy Spirit comes upon you and I, we're going to be envied and hated, maybe even among your own brothers in the church. How are we going to handle this envy? One, and the most important one, is that God was with him. It doesn't matter what you have if God is not with you. If you're rich, it's only for a fall, and to be given unto someone poor who believes and needs money. If you're exalted, it means nothing if you don't have God. But if you have God and the people envy you because of it, rely on God. Because they envy you, they envy us because we have been blessed by God. It's the book of the Revelations, please, in chapter number 3. And I think I may have looked at this verse at the beginning of the seminar. I can't remember. But it's Revelations in chapter number 3, in verse number 7 and verse number 8. These patriarchs, they envy their own brother Joseph. Why? Why? The Lord was with him, and his father loved him. And when they saw the coat of his many colors, is they had to is to rip it in pieces and to actually put it inside some blood. But God was with him because he said that your brothers are going to bow down unto this young man named Joseph. Is they envy Paul? Is they envy Jesus? Is they envy Isaac? Is they envy Daniel? But the scripture says, from Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy. This is the Almighty God, our Lord Jesus. He who is true and faithful. He who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts. Some of you are afraid that if you stand up and preach the gospel, it's going to cost you your job. What are you going to do with that fear? He opens doors and no man can shut. Is we don't need any denomination. And we don't need any board of elders. And we don't need any people to be a preacher sent by God. We only need one thing. And what's that? God. Do we believe that? Are we willing? Are we able in our spirit by faith to go unto God and say, sink or swim, I stand with you? No matter what they do unto me, I'm leaning on you. I only want you. Just give me you, and I'll do anything you say at any time. I'll say anything you put in that word in my mouth. Anything you want, I will do. Just give me you. That's a preacher. I'm afraid there are no tricks. There's a man who's leaning on God with all of his heart. He's all he's got. And there's a God who's faithful. And when we do that, that's when we become preachers. Because we don't say what the people say. And we don't care what the denomination says. We only care about Bible. And we back it up in our doctrine and in our life. And we let men examine what we teach, our doctrine, and we let them examine us and have a good look. We're leaning on God. That's what we're looking for. Men who lean on God. And sisters who lean on God in their own way to serve God in their own ministry. There's a sister here. She has a woman Bible study. Is you sisters, if you know the gospel, if you have a gift, you have a woman's Bible study, you tell them about God, what God says. A, what he has put in my heart from the word. B, is coming out of my mouth. Are we willing? As you raise your hand inside your heart, are you willing to suffer for the gospel? Are you willing to die for it? I don't just mean with a Muslim. I mean with a Christian in the house of God. Joseph was envied of his brothers. The very people who should have loved him the most. They hated him because God was with him. And envy in the ministry is an important task that me and you must learn to carry the burden. It's good for us. It's good for us. One, if I'm being envied, it means that God is with me. And two, it means that I will rely upon God in my hurting heart, in my pain, in my agony. In my jealousy at them being jealous, I rely upon God and confess my sin and pray for them, my enemy. Is that what we're going to do? That will make us grow. And I'll leave here and I'll come back and I'll hear about men preaching the gospel and standing for Christ. Hear me now. Hear me. The denomination is good if it's good, but it means nothing. I'm not controlled by what men teach. I'm controlled by Bible. And if you can't actually back it up in Bible, it's wrong. But if you can, it is not wrong. It's right. And it's the word of God. And we tremble at God's word. We are obedient to the faith ourselves in order to make men obedient. He opens a door that no man can shut. He's really saying, I don't need the approval of men to put you in the ministry and bless you. He's saying, I don't need anybody else's permission to bless you with power and make you faithful and reward your service. I don't have to ask, he's saying, the denominational committee, if you can preach. I don't have to ask permission to give you the preaching of the gospel and a platform. Is it too much? It's freedom. Sir. As to what can I preach, sir?
What a book.
It's I'm illustrating the point. If you don't ask man as to what you can preach, you ask God. And God will lift you up. And he'll be with you. And there is absolutely nothing on earth like having God with us. That's where the comfort comes from. That's where the power. That's where the sweetness and the joy. That's life itself. That's everything. And then he'll open doors and he'll raise up people to hear you. And if he wants you supported, he'll rain the money down from heaven through prayer. And if he wants you to work, he'll provide a job. And whether he wants you to preach unto 2 or to 500, that's his business. That's not our concern. I don't care has to be our attitude. I just want to preach the gospel and be faithful that somebody else may obey Christ. That's all I'm concerned about. That's what's in our heart. And we got to grow it. Because the reward is with our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I shut, and no one opens. Oh, saints. Some of you here, perhaps, is you're after a position. And you think, if I can be nice unto so-and-so, if I can compromise, if I can smile, if I can actually meet him as he's exiting,
out of his office, and as I make it look like it was an accidental meeting, I just happened to be here smiling in his face. Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. No, when God shuts a door, you can't go through it. Now, it may open in the platform, but God won't be there with you. You hearing me? If you got it by man's power, and by conniving, and by trickery, and by hiding the blessed word, when you stand up in front of thousands, he won't be there, and there's nothing to it. It's all talk. It's an empty soul, and you might end up in hell. Oh no. We serve only one master. Only one died for us. Only one saved us. Only one makes us happy in this world. Nobody else. Oh, you might have an excellent wife or husband. Bless God. But God makes you happy, not them. Or it's idolatry. I wish we had some heart religion and the truth of the gospel. That's all we need. In the heart with power, with the truth, and we win the world. We conquer the world and we win life. And every day we get to bask with him and we get to meet with our God. That's what life is all about. Verse number 8. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. That's the privilege of being able to preach the gospel and walk with God. I've given it to you. Why? Why? And no one can shut it. No man can stop it. No denomination, and no group of men, and no wife, and no children, and no board, and no army. If he wants you dead, he'll have you dead. If he wants you alive to preach the gospel, no man can stop it on earth. Ask our brother John Bunyan. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress where? In prison for 12 years. It was the Anglicans too. But some Anglicans preached the truth, but he wouldn't sign the piece of paper. He wouldn't get permission from men to preach God's grace. And God met with him for 12 years. And he wrote the most popular book in the world next to the Bible. Well, we don't need men. We just need God. And he'll open whatever door he sees fit. As I have an opportunity to go into South Africa, into a well-known church that I know that there are men that would steal to get into. But it's number one is I don't care if it's not God's will. And if it is God's will, it's because he opened it and I never sought it or thought about it. I go preach, I hope I'm telling the truth to 5 people with leprosy if he sent me there. Because it doesn't matter if he's there. An open door is more than an opportunity. It's an opportunity with God. It doesn't matter who's there, who's not there. It's with God and he sent you.
And that's all we need in this life. Some assurance. God sent me there and he's there with me. That's all we need. And he'll take care of everything. It will handle envy. It will tackle envy. And no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. You trust me just a little bit, and you have been faithful. You kept my word and have not denied my name. And so what is he saying? I've seen you faithful. I've seen your heart. I've seen your preaching. I've seen your ministry. I've seen you stand for God. So I'm going to open a door that can't be closed by all of the committees in this world. That's the only thing we need to preach the gospel is him. And he'll find us a pulpit if it's a street corner. And I don't mean to talk much about myself, but these are examples. After he revived my soul, I had no pulpits. But I had street corners. I prayed, Lord God, you put the gift in me. What can I do? There's street corners. Go preach in them. There are buses. Go preach in them. There are prisons. Go preach in them. There are orphan boys and girls. Go preach to them. Nobody can stop you. And God will see you faithful. He'll see you unbending and serving him on your knees. And he'll raise up a pulpit if you need one. Don't worry about a job. Don't try to please people. Just please God. You got a little strength. I'm going to kick open the door. That's what we need, the gospel. An open door. Let's go back. It's in our text in Acts chapter number 7, please. Point number 3. And then this third point, is I want to pick up our reading at verse number 22. And the point is that our brother Moses fled. It's my last sermon. It's my last point. And in about 15 minutes, we'll have some time to ask questions. But from verse number 22, all the way down to verse number 29. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Now you know that Moses, he couldn't talk as when God came to him and when he called him, right? But he could talk in his own strength as a younger man, and he had to get rid of all the strength he had before God could use him. He had to get rid of all the strength in the backside of the desert. But our brother Moses, if he was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians, not of God, the Egyptians, the seminary tricks, but not the gospel. And was mighty in words and deeds, an eloquent man and an example in some many ways. Verse 23, now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart, he got saved to visit his brothers. It isn't that he isn't saved.
He esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt at the age of 40. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And he's in his own strength. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him as to who was wrong, and struck down the Egyptian. He's on the right side, but he's not with God. He's a believer, but he's leaning on his own strength. And I've been there. Verse 25, for he supposed, he thought. He didn't get his assurance from God. Is you know where he got his assurance? I'm learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. I'm mighty in word and deed. I'm Moses. I was raised in Pharaoh's house. Surely I'm the guy, everyone should know it. I'm tall, dark, and handsome. I'm a star athlete and a mathematician and an orator. I'm a charming guy. Surely everyone knows I have a beautiful face. And he was a beautiful baby. He supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand. But they did not understand. And the people can't understand until God makes them understand. Because he sent you. Verse 26, and the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them. He's a good guy on the right side. And he's saying, men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away. And saying, who made you? And here's the question, who made you a preacher? Who made you to take up in that pulpit? Who made you to open up that Bible and preach the gospel? And Moses, he knew the gospel. He esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches than Egypt. But here is the question. It's on his calling. Here's my question. Has God intervened on Moses' behalf yet? Has God said anything unto Moses about it's the time to go? Not a word. That's the problem. Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? And if it's not of God, my brothers, it will fail sooner or later because the confidence is in man and that won't work. If a man is trusting in himself, he will fall. And it may take years, but he will fall. And he'll be miserable all the while. And he won't even know how miserable he is until he's rescued out of his sin and starts trusting God. He won't know the sweetness of the ministry until he finally starts to lean on God. It's like, that's what this ministry is. It's God doing. It's grace. It's grace. Then at this saying, it's, look what the scripture says. Verse number 28. Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? And so now he's in trouble. It's a trial now. Because if Pharaoh finds out that you've killed an Egyptian, Moses, it's over for you. And since he isn't leaning on God, he has faith, but he has no faith in his calling. In the ministry of the word. He can preach the truth, but he has no assurance he's been sent by God. And so when hard times come, he leans on himself. And he's going to have to fail. That's why Moses fled. Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, as to where he had two sons. And when the 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. That's when he was called by God. Right? So here's just a couple of points in this last point, and I'll finish and we can have some questions. Point one, who called you? Point two, who are you leaning on? What the Almighty God has to do, and he helps us older men to learn the hard way, that by my strength I cannot prevail, and by my power I can't fight the devil. If you ever want to meet a person that's overcoming sin, it's a person who failed. It's the missionaries I know who preach the gospel with joy and suffer without any complaint have failed in ministry and in life. And now they know it's all on God. And when we rely on God, he gives us the strength. And when Moses was called, the actual time he was called at the mountain, and he was called by God, it's the bush, it burned with fire, but the bush, it was not consumed. He realized by faith, by understanding, and by revelation that the reason God Almighty can dwell with us sinners is because of Jesus Christ and his blood. That's why the bush burned and it was not consumed. Me and you can be in the presence of God and called by God and used by God because of Jesus Christ. His blood has taken away our sin. And God can use us now. He told him that the evidence of the calling that I called you is the people. And you are going to be worshiping me on this mountain. Now you go down there into Egypt and get my people out and bring them back. Now, every time our brother Moses had trouble, after God sent him the second time, what did he do? He leaned on God. Lord, it's the people, if they won't hear me, I'll give you signs and wonders. Lord, I can't talk. Send somebody else. I commissioned you, and I'll go with you. And for a little while, I'm going to let you have Aaron. And then you'll forget all about Aaron. And you'll just speak yourself. And what did God do? He brought the people out. He gave them obedience. That's the picture. He saved them. That's the picture. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of bondage himself. He used Moses. But he did it. Stretch forth your rod. Oh, the power wasn't in the rod. The power, it was in the God who used the stick. The power is not in the gospel ourselves. The power is in the gospel himself. The gospel is the power of God. Stretch forth your rod. And if you've been called by God, preach and give him glory. And he'll use you to make people obedient.
to deliver them from the bondage and captivity of sin by the gospel. Now the Lord bless you. Thank you all for coming. It's a good turnout. Did you bring your books? Yes. Is the sister here? She wanted me to get the books. Is to help with the is the NGO, so she can take a picture of the books. I appreciate you coming. I appreciate you serving with me in the gospel. I appreciate you hearing me preach the gospel. I appreciate you humbling yourselves, especially you older men, to humble yourselves and to hear me preach is a big deal. So thank you much, very much. And I want to be at your service in the gospel. If you call me, the easiest way to reach me is on my WhatsApp. And if you write it out, it's just easier. I can see it. If I have time, I'll answer. If I don't answer my phone much, but on my WhatsApp, you are available unto me, and then I am also with you. There's an online group. It is on our WhatsApp. It's called the John Mark School of Ministry. Can anybody tell me as to why I chose John Mark and what's so special about him? Okay. Is it with the question? And so after the question, yes.
My thought is his frailty.
I love it. He failed. He failed. He went back. He played the coward. But then God, is he brought him back. And then Paul said, he's useful. And at first, the Apostle Paul said, I don't want to have anything to do with him. But he proved himself faithful. And the Apostle Peter called him his son. And he wrote the book of Mark. He wrote Bible. He became a prophet of God. So he failed. He came back. And he was made useful. That's hope for all of us. And that's my story. So if you want to be added unto this online group, is you have my WhatsApp number is on the back of the book. It's the one with the +1 510. It's on the left hand side. And you have to add in the +1. So you reach out unto me. If you want to be added unto the group, then you send me a message and you let me know. Don't just say hi. Say hi and then ask, what are you after? If you want to be added, you let me know. You have a question, you let me know. I want to serve you for the rest of my life. So this isn't just for right now, short. It's for many, many years if I can be a resource. For you pastors especially, there's an online program that's in England. It's with the Metropolitan Tabernacle. It's at the church as to where Brother Charles Spurgeon used to preach. And there's a brother that's up there now, is an older man named Peter Masters. And he has a good online program. And if you are a pastor, it is free. And so you'll have to request and you'll have to answer some questions. But if you are accepted, it's a good program. It's a good way to study, and I recommend it. So I'm a resource until death. And these other ones, that are in the UK are actually teaching it's the real gospel in the real spirit of God, in humility, in love, in selflessness. And it's some other Nigerians at that church as it's either an assistant pastor maybe, and it's some other Nigerians that have been trained there either online or from, it was from many years ago, it was in person. And they've learned the gospel very well. So if you're a pastor, it'll be free. If you're not, if you're interested, if you get acceptance, is you contact me, okay? And so are there any questions? Because I hope that things were cleared this afternoon. It was a really slow start, but it picked up. Point number one is we preach for other people to obey. So we have to obey ourselves and devote ourselves unto the word of the gospel. Point number two is we handle the hatred of man by the love of God and the power of God and the open doors of God. And point number three, we have to go with God. We have to be assured, and that assurance is on our knees, that He sent me. Because if He sent me, I'm going to lean on Him in the battle. And He's going to give me strength and victory. He's going to give a holy character, and He's going to save souls. Is there anybody with a question? And then after we end, I believe, is some Zobo? Yes? No? Yes. I think you ladies are able to get the Zobo. Mm-hmm. So it's just a small refreshment. And then is we would also like to take a picture. Brother Jonathan, please. Is there any questions? Okay, thank you. And so where ought we to have our picture?
Just a minute.
Okay.
We can go to the table.
Okay.
And then we can do the picture.
Okay. And so as the ladies are organizing, if you want to speak on the
foundation.
Yes, on the foundation.
Okay,
introduce yourself, please.
Okay, thank you. My name is Adesi Okuta. I'm a co-founder and director in the foundation.